All right, we got quite a few. We got quite a crowd in the audience tonight. We'll be starting up in just about a minute or two. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. This is David Ricklin from selfgrowth.com. We have a tremendous opportunity tonight. I'm going to be interviewing Jack Canfield about how to conquer your biggest goals. Tremendous amount of information. I recommend, if you haven't had a chance yet, get yourself, make yourself comfortable, get yourself a piece of paper, pen, pencil, something to write with. Jack is going to be educating us tonight on how to conquer your biggest goals. And we'll be starting up in just about 1 minute. I'm going to open up the lines one more time. If anybody, if you've shouted out before, you shouted out, or if you haven't told us yet, give everybody a chance just to shout out or open it up one more time and tell us where you're calling from. Hold on. Where's everybody from? I heard just about every state in the United States and quite a few countries abroad. I want to welcome everybody. Thank you very much. We have quite a crowd on the line. For folks just coming on, this is David Ricklin from selfgrowth.com, and we have a tremendous opportunity tonight. I will be interviewing Jack Canfield about how to conquer your biggest goals. We have a tremendous opportunity to learn from Jack tonight, and everybody in the line has been hearing it's hard to really ignore the news about the economy and the challenges that we're going to face. Now more than ever, it's really imperative that you stay on track to achieve your biggest goals. And that's what we have Jack on the line for. And many of you on the line know Jack Canfield as the author and driving force of more than 100 million books. It's 100 million books sold through the Chicken Soup of the Soul series. It's been phenomenal. And over the years, Jack's become well known for developing methodology and result-oriented action steps to really help you take on greater challenges and produce breakthrough results. And that's what we're talking about today. Jack is also the co-author. He wrote Dare to Win, Power of Focus, Success Principles. Jack is uniquely qualified to talk about success. He's also a prominent teacher. I know many folks on the line have either seen the movie The Secret or read the book. He's a prominent teacher in The Secret. And it was actually because of The Secret and all the thousands of questions that rolled in after The Secret that led Jack to develop what he calls his Dream Big process. And you're going to be hearing more about it later today, and you're also going to be hearing a little bit about his 90-day goal challenge. And for folks who want to get a sneak peek at that, we have a web page set up that you can take a look at later. I'm going to share the URL with everybody right now if you want to just jot it down. It's www.selfgrowth.com. So it's selfgrowth.com. /Jack, J-A-C-K, we'll make it easy, selfgrowth.com/Jack. And at this point, let's see if you're with us. Jack, are you on the line?
I'm here, David.
All right, good to hear you made it. Pleasure to have you. I want to jump right in. One of the areas that you teach, I know, are three simple steps really to create what you want. The concept of asking, believing, and receiving. And I know that you recently did two other calls, and you spoke and you were focusing more on the asking and believing it. And tonight we're going to be focusing on the receiving step. And I understand the first two calls will also be available to anyone who gets involved with the 90-day challenge.
That's correct. We did a call with Bob Proctor, who everyone remembers. I always call him the tan suit in The Secret and one of the great speakers and teachers about law of attraction. And then I did another call with another person and then this third call with you. So real excited about this. And as you remember from the movie The Secret, we talk about three steps to activating the law of attraction, which is asking for what you want, kind of placing an order with the universe. Every thought you think is actually a request for manifestation to occur. Then you have to believe that it's possible, live in a state of positive expectation, and taking action is a critical part of the belief section. In other words, if we don't believe in something, we don't act on it. And thirdly is receiving. So we'll take a few minutes in this call. We'll review the Ask Believe so people coming in on this call will be up to speed. But as you said, anyone who is listening to this call who purchases the Dream Big Collection or the Dream Big System later will have access to those other two-hour-long calls as well. We'll talk a little more about that as we get into the call.
All right, and as you can hear, we have quite a few folks from all around the world excited to hear you tonight.
I heard that. That was exciting.
All right, and tonight we're really going to be talking about how to prepare yourself, as you mentioned, actually receive all the good that's coming to you. And I want folks to keep focused on that. And you'll be surprised how many people start rolling their dreams into play, and then they kind of slam the doors shut and button up the windows from receiving before they actually get what they want. And we're going to get past this issue, too, in the weeks ahead. So I want to get started. You mentioned you want to give a quick review. So if we can do a quick review on the first primary processes involved in really reaching one's goals, so
sure.
We can get everybody up to speed. Can you give us a quick wrap on the art of asking and believing?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, we're spending time asking every day because everything is energy, and everything that's energy responds to thought. And so we know that every thought we think is both a request to the universe and also to our subconscious mind to actually manifest that. Now, many of us don't realize when we say, I'm sick and tired of something, we're actually saying to our unconscious mind, I'm sick and tired, and we're inviting the universe to give us opportunities to be more sick and more tired. So the law of attraction says whatever you think about, talk about, focus on, attend to, watch on TV, listen to on the radio, what you worry about, fantasize about, literally anything you give your attention to, you're going to attract more of into your life. So when we're watching CNN, which one of my friends recently coined the term constantly negative news, and we're hearing all this news about DHL stopping doing business in the U.S. and certain banks going out of business, and the auto industry is supposed to lose 4,000 dealerships in the United States this year, et cetera, we take that in and we think, oh, my God, it's getting really bad. It's going to get bad for me, too. And we start thinking about that, we actually start attracting more of that negativity, more of that poverty consciousness into our life. Because as we'll focus on later in this call, the majority of this call, that you can't receive anything into your life unless you're an energetic match, you're a vibrational match to that which you want. So if you're receiving something, in other words, to get what you want, you have to be in a state of abundance, a state of appreciation, a state of gratitude, because that's the state you'd be in if you had just gotten something. If I were to give you $1 million, you'd be in a state of gratitude, you'd feel appreciative, you'd feel content, you'd feel secure, you'd have a lot of feelings. And basically we know that like is attracted to like energy. So that if I'm in a state of abundance, I'm actually going to attract more abundance into my life. If I'm in a high state of self-esteem in a room and people come into a room, people of high self-esteem level are going to gravitate to me. People with low self-esteem will either be threatened by me or if afraid they're going to be rejected by me, and they will find other people working at the same level of self-esteem as them. In our city of Santa Barbara, where I live, we have a place called State Street. It's the main street. And Upper State are all the really wealthy restaurants and the upscale places and the bars with what they used to call fern bars and so forth, and the wine shops. Down on Lower State are all the places where the strip joints are,
right,
and the head shops and the really dives. And you'll find everyone's attracted to the vibration that they are. And the same thing is true with everything else in the universe. So if I'm coming from a place of abundance and certainty and excitement, enthusiasm, and a positive expectation that the world's going to work for me, if I believe it's a beneficent universe, that God's on my side, that everything's working out in my favor, I'm going to attract a different kind of energy, different people, different opportunities into my life than someone who's scared, like it's getting bad, it's going to get worse, and so on and so forth. So we'll talk a little more about that as we get into the call. But the main thing in this first part is to realize that every thought we think is like placing a cosmic order with the universe. It's like putting in a purchase order for what you want. So especially in this time where there's so much negative news, and there is negativity out there, there's no question about it. But to the level that we allow that to come in and affect us, we're going to be in trouble. So we really have to take 100% responsibility for our thoughts, 100% responsibility for where we put our attention. Are we focusing on what we want, or are we focusing on what we're afraid of? And so whatever you attend to, you're going to get more of, so it's really critical. And life is like a combination lock. I mean, I remember having a dream. It was a recurring dream about 15 years ago. I think everyone I've ever talked to has had this dream that either they can't find their locker in school, or if they can find it, they can't remember the combination to get it open. And success is like knowing the combination to a lock. And most of us are going around missing some of the numbers. And when we get into fear, we don't even remember the numbers we know. So what we want to do in this call is to give people the numbers they need in the right order to unlock this combination lock called success. Because every one of us has built into us a GPS system. We all know about a global positioning satellite system. We have them in the new cars these days, or you can buy them and put them on your dashboard. And you don't need to know how to get from where you are to where you want to go. All you need to know is where you want to go. And the GPS system, if you program in your address, will give you, it'll say, you know, turn right in 100 yards, or it will give you a map, or like MapQuest on the computer, it will print out a set of directions. And our unconscious works the same way, and the universe works the same way, such that if we can get really clear about what we want, we can produce anything that we want, but most people are not clear. So I want to give you just a brief review of what we talked about on the first call, which is three techniques for getting clear about what you want. Number one is to take a day or you know, a couple hours, but really focus on your life, everywhere you have dominion, your apartment, your house, your garage, your business, your office, your warehouse, wherever it is you might be in charge of, and walk through with a clipboard or a notebook and write down everything that you're tolerating, everything that's an irritation, everything that isn't exactly the way you want it to be. And because most of us, we're seeing things we don't like we can never find a stapler at the Xerox machine. We're seeing pictures on the wall that never want to see straight. There's a screen door that won't close, the garage door that doesn't go down all the way unless I kick it with my foot at the very end, et cetera, et cetera. And we're settling. We're in resignation. And so we have to get out of resignation into believing that I can have everything in my life exactly the way I want it. And we got to start with the little things. And so it's like take a day or two and go through all of those things on your list once you've made it and do your best to clean them up. You know, get some 3-in-1 oil and fix the squeaky door. Call 3-Day Blinds and get the slats fixed in the broken blind. Get some Velcro and put it on the bottom of the picture so that they Velcro to the wall so they're not like sliding around all the time. And just handle as many of those little things as you can. And the bigger things you put on a schedule to get done. It might be a new filing system or a new computer monitor, something that takes a little more time to do. But most of us, when we're living in that resignation level, we have to numb out our awareness not to see it in order to get by and not be irritated by it. And what we do is we numb out all of our awareness, including the subconscious ability to come up with really creative decisions and really creative solutions to our problems. The second thing you all want to do is to make a list of 101 goals that you want to achieve before you die. Just recently, I interviewed Lou Holtz, who is the football coach at Notre Dame at one point, now is an ESPN commentator, has won several national football championships and bowl games, and an amazing guy. And he made a list of 108 goals that he wanted to achieve when he was in his 20s. And I talked to him when I was interviewing him for my book, and he said he'd achieved 106 of his 108 wow. goals. And he said, every day when I got up, I always had something to look forward to. Every year I'd pick 3 or 4 things. And these were major goals, like land a plane on an aircraft carrier, go under the water in a submarine, go down the Snake River in a river raft, win a national football championship, eat dinner at the White House, meet the Pope. And he said, I've achieved all but 2. John Gotthard, who I write about in my book, The Success Principles, I interviewed him, and he made a list of 117 goals that he wanted to achieve before he died, and I think he's up to about 102 that he's achieved. And these were major goals, including read the Encyclopedia Britannica cover to cover, climb 7 different mountain peaks, go down the entire length of the Nile River, the Yangtze River, the Congo River, the Amazon River. And so you want to have a life that is really excited you, that excites you because you've got all these goals. And every time you think of something you want to do, every magazine where you see a place you'd like to go, like if you're reading Condé Nast Traveler magazine or National Geographic, rip it out. I have a huge set of volumes of 3-ring notebooks in my office, and they're just plastic pages in there, and every page holds a picture of something I saw, and I went, I want to go there. I want to do that. I want to own that. So make your list of a minimum of 101 goals that you want to achieve before you die, and then review that list at least once a month. Just review it. And what will happen is just by reviewing it, you'll start attracting things into your life because you've decided and said to the universe, I want that. And the third thing to do, and this is a little more sophisticated, but I think everybody should do this, is to sit down and really spend a couple hours and ask yourself, usually in a state of meditation, a very relaxed state, where do I want to be, like 5 years from now, 10 years from now? You pick a number and go through 7 categories of your life financially. What do I want my income to be? What do I want my cash flow to be, et cetera? Job and career, where do you want to be 5 years from now? Do you want to be the vice president of the company, the national sales manager? Do you want to win a certain award for, architect of the year, whatever it might be there? Then relationships, What are the quality of your relationships? Most people will focus on job and career money, but very rarely do they have relationship goals. I want to have this many friends. I want to have these kind of experiences with my spouse. I want to live with my perfect soulmate. And then go into health and fitness. What do you want your cholesterol level to be? Do you want to run a marathon? One of my students just ran the Leadville 100-mile race.
Wow.
And as a result of that, and this guy is a guy who couldn't swim, but after he did that, he said, wow, if I can run 100 miles, and it took him 2 years to train for this, he said, I bet I could run a triathlon, but I don't know how to swim. He taught himself to swim, and in 2 months he was swimming over a mile, and I think you have to swim a mile and a half in the triathlon. And he went off and he finished his first triathlon just about a month and a half ago. So what do you want in the area of fun and recreation? How many vacations do you want to take? Where do you want to go? Do you want to take salsa dancing lessons? Would you like to take an improv class? And then in the area what we call personal, that's the things you want to own and the educational goals, the spiritual goals you want to have. And then finally, look at the area of contribution. What do you want to do, contribute to society before you die? You know, like I just recently realized I wanted to set up an institute. Like you can hardly go to a university anywhere in America and study what you and I teach. There's no graduate degree program in transformational psychology or transformational leadership or self-growth, PhD. And so I said, there ought to be at least one university that's giving away PhDs in this, and you can go and study that. So we got 10 people together, and we realized that for $1,500,000 each, we could endow an institute at a university that would have to have a professor, 2 graduate students, and library space from now until the end of time. So, like, what is it you want to leave as your footprint on the earth? And really get clear about that. And as you do that, you'll find that you'll get very creative about doing it. The last thing about asking is to honor your preferences. We all have preferences, things we're attracted to, the music we love. And when we set goals, you want to set goals that are things you really want to do, not shoulds. One of the things that I find kills people, especially when we look at this law of attraction with the whole vibrational essence that we're going to talk about later here, is that they set goals based on what they think they should do. They should weigh this amount, or they should do that, you know, because it looks good in society, or people will like them, or whatever. But the point is, we see that one of the major things that's underlying goal failure is that the goals were based on shoulds rather than want-tos. And the other thing we're finding in the research we've done since The Secret came out, because a lot of people have watched The Secret, and the reason I developed this course, this Dream Big collection and the Dream Big system, is that a lot of people were watching The Secret. They'd tell me things like, I've watched The Secret 60 times, and I'm still not a millionaire. I still haven't achieved this goal. You know, and I always have 2 answers to that. One is get off the couch, stop watching The Secret, and go do something. And secondly, you know, to become a millionaire usually takes more than 3 months, especially if you're starting out, you know, where your income is like $50,000 a year. A little patience is involved. But the other thing we're finding is that people are setting goals from their egos rather than from their, well, what I like to call your high self, your life purpose level. So one of the things that's really valuable to do, and we'll talk more about this later, is to be a meditator. Be someone who spends time every day going deeply inside yourself so that you can connect with the deepest, most essential part of yourself and what it wants to achieve in life. Because often we're down here playing in second grade when we need to be up at the graduate school level because we have not taken time to really connect to that deeper part of ourselves. And lastly, I would just say this. This is a technique that I learned from Bob Proctor years ago, and I've used it in my life, and it just is amazing what it does. And that is to write ideal scenes for everything you want. So if I, every year, I set 21 goals, 3 goals in each of the 7 areas of the vision we talked about. And then I write an ideal scene, which can be about a typed page, maybe 250, 300 words, that says, I'm so happy and grateful that I now. And then I write very clearly, you know, I'm vacationing in Hawaii and in Kauai in a private home on the beach that has an infinity pool and a DVD player and, you know, a wonderful bedroom with a view over the ocean, wonderful koa wood furniture. Every day we go out on the beach and we collect shells. You know, I write down all the specifics that I want to be experiencing on that vacation. And then I go to relationships and I talk about what my ideal relationships look like. It takes me about a day or two in January to write out all of those specific goals and get them really, really clearly, distinctly in my mind, because we can't visualize them if we don't have the details. And most people will say things, yeah, someday I'd like to own a yacht. Well, what kind? Well, I never researched it. Well, why don't you go research it and go to a yacht store, see what kind you like, go online, you know, go to the Robb Report, look at all the ads for yachts. What's the interior going to look like? How many people do you want on that? Do you want to be able to sleep on your yacht? Do you want to have a crew? Do you want to be sailing it yourself? How much is the slip fee going to cost? Are you just going to rent one for a month, or are you going to own it? What color do you want the furniture to be in the stateroom? Most people never go that far, and because they don't go that far, they never get what they want. So you have to get very detailed in laying out your image of what you want. The other thing is, if we go to believe, so we got ask, and get some very specific ways to ask for what we want, which we've talked about. And then we've got to believe we can get it. My mentor, who mentored me for 3 years, was a man named W. Clement Stone, who was Napoleon Hill's, one of his best friends. And Napoleon Hill, as we all know, wrote Think and Grow Rich. And W. Clement Stone, with Napoleon Hill, wrote The Success System That Never Fails. And one of the things they said was, what the mind of man, and we'll update it to mind of man and woman, can conceive and believe, the mind of man and woman can achieve. So the idea is, if you can conceive it and make it up and you can believe it, then you can achieve it. General Wesley Clark, when I was interviewing him for my book, said, look, he was the head of NATO for many years and ran for the Democratic Party nomination against, I think it was Kerry. And he was, you know, tremendously successful person. And he said, you know, if you're going to dream, why not dream a big dream? He said, because it doesn't take any more time to dream a big dream than it takes to dream a small dream. So many of us right now are talking about just getting through the recession. We're talking about survival instead of thrival. You know, Walt Disney was a visionary. Mandela, JFK, Martin Luther King, Gandhi, Mother Teresa, Richard Branson, Michael Dell, all these people, Bill Gates, who's just teaching up at Microsoft a couple of weeks ago, all these people had no agreement from the outside world that they could do what they could do. You know, when JFK said we're going to put a man on the moon by the end of the decade, when the Wright brothers says we're going to fly, when Mandela said we're going to end apartheid, I mean, they laughed at him. They put him in jail. Gandhi was in jail for many years. And yet they never gave up their dream, because they said, if we're going to dream, let's dream the ultimate dream. Let's dream the big dream. And when you dream a big dream, this is something that I learned from Dave Liniger, who started Remax, the huge real estate agency, which started out in an office with one phone. And then his first real estate agent that joined him was a woman, because she couldn't get a job in a male-dominated real estate agency. And the next guy was an African-American, because nobody was going to work with him. They all thought he was crazy. And yet now he's a billionaire. And he said, if you're going to dream a big dream. Because when you dream a big dream, you're going to attract big people. When Martin Luther King said, I'm going to end racism in America, a whole lot of people from the Kennedys and on down said, we'll play. We'll get involved. We're going to help you do this. You know, and the reality is, if he'd said, I'm going to open up a pizza stand in Mississippi, a whole bunch, you know, the same people wouldn't have got together to help it out. So the idea is, when you have a dream, dream big. And dream a dream that's not only going to serve you, but in the process of serving you, it's going to serve others. Because here's the other thing we've found since the Secret. We know that when you can take any dream you want to achieve, and it could be, you know, making $1 million selling real estate. But here's the deal. When you're thinking about it, don't think about how it's going to serve you. You know, you're going to get the Mercedes. You're going to get the nice piece of real estate that you get to live in. You're going to get the trips, and you're going to be able to send your kids to good schools and buy the best health care and take lots of personal growth seminars and buy whatever clothes you want and so on and so forth. But if you think about that, it actually slows down the manifestation of your dream. If instead you'll focus on how it's going to serve others, putting people in the homes of their dreams, getting their people with kids next to really good schools, helping people who've always had this dream of owning their own home achieve it. One of my friends who's just about 29 right now, one of the youngest real estate agents in Silicon Valley, and won Realtor of the Year last year and was on the cover of Real Estate Executive Magazine, she said, you know, I was so focused on myself, I wasn't getting anywhere. And then what I did was I started saying, how can I help people? And who can I help? Who's a niche market that nobody really believes in? And she said, single moms. I'm going to teach single moms how to buy homes. And so she started running seminars for single mothers on how to get into your own home. And then now she's got 11 trainers running around running seminars for single mothers on how to get into their own homes. As a result, when that mother's ready to buy her own home, who does she go to? She goes to this real estate agency, and she's cleaning up even in a market that's difficult, because she's developed this concept of service rather than self. And if we were to have you in one of my seminars on stage, I would bring you up and I would have, let's say, David, I was using you as the example. I would have you put your arm out, and we'd muscle test your arm. So your arm would be out to your side. I'd say, think of a goal you have that you really is really important to you, and you'd think of some goal you have. And then I'd say, think only of how it's going to serve David Ricklin if you achieve that goal. And after a few seconds, I'd push down your arm would be totally weak. And I'd say, same goal. You know, it could be even having the Mercedes-Benz, vacationing in Hawaii, whatever it is. But how's that going to serve others if you achieve that goal? Your arm would be rock solid strong. And the body never lies. The body tells us what the truth is. The body's like the monitor in a computer. In other words, you don't know what's going on inside your computer unless you have a screen that you can see that, oh, we're in the email program, and David Ricklin's file is up, and there's a email that I'm sending him. Otherwise, for all we know, you're over there in the, you know, doing PowerPoint. So, but we can't tell unless we have the monitor. Our body is always monitoring us. It tells us the truth. It'll literally tell us if a goal is a good goal for us. I've been teaching something in my seminars recently where I have people standing up, and I ask them to have their body calibrate a yes answer and a no answer. So you would ask, like, body, tell me what yes is. And normally most people's bodies will lean forward, but about 25% of the people's bodies lean backwards. And then we'll say, tell us what a no is. It'll usually lean the opposite direction. Then you can test it. You know, is my name Jack Canfield? If it goes forward, then you know it's a yes. Mm-hmm. You test that with some obvious answers that you know to be true, and we calibrate the body. Then you can say, is it for my highest good to pursue this goal of going back to school and getting my MBA? Is it for my highest good to pursue this goal of trying to get married, to fall in love with me, whatever it might be? And your body will give you a yes or no answer. It's very profound how much wisdom exists that we have never learned to manifest. But anyway, going back to the ask, believe, receive, once we've asked, we have to believe that we're going to get it. We have to have a positive expectancy. As I like to say, if you call up a pizza parlor and you say to them, I'd like you to give me a pepperoni pizza with pineapple and onion and mushrooms, and then you call them back 5 minutes and go, are you guys really going to deliver it? And then you call back 5 minutes later and say, hi, it's me again, Jack Canfield. Are you really cooking it? You're really going to? You really? Oh, wow. Well, if I did that for about 5 days in a row, they'd stop taking my call. They'd have caller ID and go, that's that Canfield guy again. He's a pain in the neck. Forget him. And so what we're doing is we are literally kind of canceling out the order. And we do that with self-doubt. We do it with fear. We do it with resignation. All these feelings that get in the way. Most of you listening on this call have seen The Secret will remember Reverend Michael Beckwith. He's the African-American with the braided hair. He's the spiritual leader at the Agape Church, the Agape Spiritual Center in Los Angeles. And I was interviewing him for another thing I do recently, and he was telling me the story that they needed $400,000 to help some construction that would allow them to move into this new church, and then they were going to need to borrow about $4 million, as I remember. And he went to his board, and they said, you know, Michael, there's no way this is going to happen. It's not realistic. There's no way the bank's going to lend us this kind of money in this economy and blah, 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 blah. And he's literally locked the door to the boardroom and said, we're not leaving this room until everyone in here at least believes it's possible. And they spent about 6 hours in that boardroom until everyone was on board. Well, yes, I guess it's possible. And then he had them all visualize that they were getting this money and that they were moving into the new church by the date they had set. Well, a few days later, Michael got a phone call from a banker, and he said, I hear you're trying to put together a new church move over there. One of your parishioners gave me your CDs. I listened to it. I'm so moved by what you're trying to do. If you need money, I would love to help you get it from this bank. And he went and got that money. And in a non-agreement world, he believed it was going to happen, and he did it. You and I, David, were talking about Mark Victor Hansen, my co-author on all the Chicken Soup books before we got on this call earlier. And he wrote a book called The 1 Minute Millionaire. And the idea was, you know, how fast, if you went from, say, maybe a $75,000 a year income, how fast could you manifest $1 million if your child's life was at stake? Let's say you had, you know, 1 week or 1 month to come up with $1 million. Could you do it? And the book's built around that metaphor. Well, the fastest they've ever gotten anyone from about $100,000 a year income to $1 million in 1 year was 14 days.
Wow.
14 days from the commitment to the actual having in their hand a check for $1 million. So we know it's possible. But if you know it's possible and you believe it's possible, then you will take action. Like if I said I was running a seminar tonight on how to levitate, Nobody would come. Nobody's ever seen anyone levitate. No one believes it's possible to levitate. You know, or if I was doing one on walking on water, even though my initials are JC, it's unlikely that anyone would sign up because they've never seen it done. They don't believe it's possible. So if you don't believe it's possible, you won't take action. That's why it's so critical to believe. And if you really believe it and you know it's a done deal, then you release it to the universe. And some people say to source energy, to God. And if you believe God's on your side, life is good, you're the divine plan, you're in the flow, and you trust all that, then you can move into action. And just a couple sentences on action, then we'll spend the rest of the call talking about receiving. But the idea is the last six letters in the word attraction spell action, A-C-T-I-O-N. And there's you have to take action. Too many people think the law of attraction means you can visualize a Cadillac and one's going to show up in your living room without you ever doing anything. And I always say, unless you live at the bottom of the hill where there's a T and the fork in the road, you know, you're probably not going to have a Cadillac show up in your living room. So what happens is you've got to take action. And there's two kinds of action. There's what we call obvious action. Want to be a doctor? You need to take anatomy and physiology and biochemistry, and then you need to go to medical school. You need to sit for your boards, and you need to be in a residency and an internship program and so forth. But there's also inspired actions, the kind of things where you just get this intuition. I should call my sister. Now, maybe you're trying to get a new Mercedes, and you don't quite have the money for it. And all of a sudden, you're sitting there, and you get this inspiration, you should call your sister. And your sister says, you know, you ought to come over tonight for dinner. And so you go over for dinner. And as you're walking in the house, she said, I'd like you to meet my husband's brother. You've never met him before. And, you know, he's a really cool guy, brother-in-law, a cousin type thing. And so you sit down to dinner with him, and he says, you know, I just called up to go over to Iraq, and I'm going to be in the war for a couple of years. I'm looking to sell my Mercedes for about two-thirds of what I paid for it. And you go, sold. Now, if you hadn't made that phone call to your sister when you got that little intuitive inspiration, I ought to call my sister, you would have missed getting that car. And so when we're tapped in, when we're doing when we're asking for what we want, we believe we're going to get it, we're tapped into the universe through meditation and through being in touch with our high self, through the kind of exercises we'll talk about in just a minute with the receive section, you will start to receive inspirations. You'll be on the freeway and someone will say, get off here and go over to Starbucks. Well, you may just have missed a major accident, or you may have missed a major traffic jam by doing that. So it's really critical that you get yourself to believe that you can trust these intuitive impulses, these intuitions, these inspirations. Everything I've ever done, from Chicken Soup for the Soul to starting the Transformational Leadership Council, which led to my being in The Secret. Half the people in The Secret were in a meeting that I had put on. That's where we were all filmed in front of a green screen when Rhonda Byrne was looking to do that. If I hadn't acted on my intuition to create that group, which is now a major, you know, organization of transformational leaders, I wouldn't have been in that movie. I wouldn't be on this call right now. I wouldn't have put together this program that we're talking about. So it's critical that you trust all of those inspirations and get into action. That was a long answer to your question, but I really felt that we needed to have the solid basis for that to move on.
I just took about 4 or 5 pages of notes over here, and I'm still working on my walkthrough with my clipboard. I just want to take a deep breath. There was a lot of information that you just shared with us, and I just want everybody in the line to realize, take some notes, take a deep breath. There's really a lot of good information there from the three techniques that you mentioned, all good stuff. There's one thing that you did mention and want to follow up on, and it's also one of the elements in your Dream Big system.
Mm-hmm.
It's a DVD. We have a live presentation where you're walking your viewers through the preparation steps of receiving. And you talk about creating a vibrational match in your mind. You mentioned that a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly do you mean by vibrational match, and how does that tie into the whole receiving concept?
Well, if you wanted to receive a radio show that was playing on 101 FM, you wouldn't turn your radio dial to 68.7 AM because you wouldn't be able to tune in that station. And so everything in the universe has a frequency. Your voice has a different frequency than mine, which is why people can recognize your voice on the phone. They recognize my voice on the phone. Everybody's essence has a different frequency. That's why Mother Teresa feels different when she walks in the room than, say, Jay Leno or Jim Carrey. There's just a different frequency that they're projecting. So in order to get what you want into your life, you have to be vibrating at the frequency of the thing you want to attract. So if I want to attract abundance into my life, let's say more money, more millions of dollars, or whatever it might be, then I've got to be vibrating at a frequency of abundance. You know, we always hear the phrase, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Well, there's some outside reasons for that in terms of they've got the aggregate mass of money and therefore they can invest it and so on and so forth. But the fact that the rich get rich and the poor get poor also has to do with consciousness. The rich are always talking about how rich they are. They're at the country club. They're celebrating. They're driving around in their Rolls Royces, etc. And so there's a vibration of wealth. You know, it's all that we always hear that loan, the bank will never lend me money when I need it, and then right. When I don't need it, they want to lend me money. Well, money flows to where money is. And so basically we want to be vibrating at a level of confidence, abundance, love, joy, forgiveness, peace, gratitude, etc. And one of the major things is that if we're vibrating at the level of peace, we're going to draw to us peaceful people. We're going to not draw to us people that are agitated. We're unlikely to get mugged. You know, I used to think that when people got mugged that they were really victims, you know, and it was hard for me to say we create 100% of our reality. And when that shifted for me was when I was working with a group of prisoners at Rahway State Prison in New Jersey, and there was an experiment going on that I learned about there, which was they were showing films to violent offenders, and they said, would you mug that person? In films of people walking down the street, and they'd go, no, wouldn't mug that person. Yeah, I'd mug that person. No, I wouldn't mug that person. And they'd say, well, what's the difference? How do you know who to mug and who not to mug? And they said, well, that person's walking with a determined step. They look like they know where they're going. They're the kind of person that would fight back. That person, look, their head's down. Their shoulders are drooped over. They look kind of depressed. That's a person that doesn't fight back. So we're literally sending out a vibration that says, I'm muggable. I'm rapable. I'm robbable. I'm someone that you can push around. I'm someone that you can abuse verbally in a relationship, whatever. Other people are putting out a vibration, don't mess with me, you know. And so if you're in a state of abundance and peace and joy, you are much less likely to have that kind of experience happen in your life. So we want to be in a place of already having rather than a place of lack. And what's happening now in our culture because of the economic situation is people are going into fear. They're going into doubt. They're going into despondency. We even see people, depression rates are up, suicide rates are up, etc. Why? Well, first of all, they're going into the future and imagining something that hasn't even happened yet, like losing their job or their stocks going down or they're not going to make it through or they're going to not survive, their house is going to go into foreclosure or whatever it might be. What you want to always be doing is visualizing what you want and feeling the feelings you'd have if you already had it. So by me being in a state of abundant gratitude, then what happens is I am going to feel that I'm in a place where I'm going to attract more. Because if I said earlier, if I give you $1 million, you feel grateful. Now you're in that state of gratitude. The universe wants to give you more things to be grateful for. If I'm in a state of lack and I'm resentful and I'm resigned and I'm bitching and moaning and complaining about how bad it is, the universe is going to give me more stuff to bitch and moan and complain about how bad it is. Because I believe at some deep level that what we're in here is a school. Earth is a school. And that the main lesson is that we are creating our own reality. And we don't get to graduate until we learn that. So it just keeps giving us over and over and over the manifestations of our thoughts until one day we wake up and go, you know, I think the reason I'm doing this right now is because of the choices and thoughts I thought before. And we begin to see on the positive side that it works the same way. Last summer, well, really last spring, I said, you know, I want to go to the Olympics. I want to go to China. I'd like to go to the opening and closing ceremonies. I'd like to see some of the events. And I'd also like to speak in China. Never spoken on the mainland. I've spoken in Hong Kong. Well, I started visualizing. I put this on my vision board, which I have, pictures of me in China. I kind of photoshopped me into a crowd. I then had a picture of a guy in a Chinese uniform jumping over hurdles, etc. And I even had a ticket. I made up a ticket off of, you know, one of the Expedia.com kind of thing that said, you know, Jack Canfield, my itinerary to Beijing and so forth. Well, I started visualizing being in China and really holding that image. It wasn't even like just about 30 days later, I'm walking in to give a speech at Isagenics, which is a multi-level marketed weight loss program. That there were 7,000 people in the audience, and I was a keynote speaker. And I'm in the back of the room putting on my microphone, and this Chinese guy walks up to me. And he says, are you Jack Canfield? And I said, yes, I am. He said, well, my name's whatever his name was. And he said, have you ever wanted to speak in China? I said, yes, I have. He said, well, I can make that happen because I represent Isagenix and two other MLMs in China, and we put together huge audiences, and I'd love to have you come speak. I said, well, I'd love to do that. But more importantly, I'd like to go to the Olympics this summer. And he said, I can help you do that. I said, how's that? He says, my brother is on the Olympic Organizing Committee for the government of China.
Wow.
And I went, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's like the Twilight Zone.
Did you have the vision board with you when he was talking to you?
I didn't have it with me.
In your mind, you did.
Well, you know, every day, here's the thing about vision boards, and that's really one of the core essences of this Dream Big collection, is that if you have a vision board that is something you look at every day that has all the pictures representing your goals on it. So I said I have 21 goals in a year, and I put 21 pictures on my vision board with words like abundance and prosperity and joy and self-freedom and things like that. And every day, and the vision board we do that's part of this Dream Big collection is way cool. It's about the size of a volume of like an encyclopedia, the old encyclopedia. So it's about, you know, maybe 18 inches tall, and it's about, you know, 10 inches wide on both sides, and it folds out like a book. Most vision boards, I always say, look like ransom notes, you know, because people have cut out all the pictures from the magazines and stuff and glued them on there, and they look somewhat sophomoric, even though sometimes it can look pretty cool. And, you know, I've been doing that for years, and then one day this woman who I was working with, who's an interior designer, said, there's no way I'd put that in my home. I mean, I have a beautiful home. It's a $3 million home. It's all beautiful furniture. This thing looks like it was made in my son's science class as a science project. Why would I put that in my home? So she helped me design something that would fit in the home. It looks leather-bound on the outside, and it's gold embossed, and it's something you can put on your desk, even if you were sitting at an all-beautiful, you know, mahogany desk with ancient, you know, Chinese antique lamps on it and so forth, and an orchid, and it fits right in. And we show people how to make the pictures that really look good on there by printing them out, you know, on photographic paper from Google Images or something like that. And then all the words come, they're already like on burnt parchment paper, so you don't have that ransom note look. And it also folds up so you can put it in your suitcase. You can take it with you. If you want to have it private, you can put it away. And we've had all our kids do them. There's one in every one of their rooms. There's one of every one of my staff people's desk. Anyway, so what I do is I look at that, and I look at each individual picture, close my eyes, visualize myself actually being there wherever it is I want to be, or owning whatever it is I want to own, or whatever quality I want to be manifesting. And then I feel that feeling. This is the key. And they mentioned the secret, but I don't think they mentioned enough. It's not the picture. It's the feeling that produces it. Everything that anyone on this call wants is because of how you think you're going to feel when you have it. You know, I remember wanting a pool table, thinking, boy, recreation's handled the rest of my life once I get this pool table. I'm going to play billiards, and it's going to be really fun. And, you know, it wasn't the pool table. It was the fun I was going to have and the challenge of overcoming my inability to always drop it in the side pocket every time I wanted. I wanted to get good at it. And that joy of learning and achieving and beating my friends and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, so it's the feeling that you want. It's the feeling of driving that car down the freeway. It's the feeling of being in love. It's the feeling that we think we're going to have when we have our ideal mate or we're on that vacation. You know, we don't go to the vacation just because it's parallel 32, 49.8 and, you know, that kind of thing on the map. We go there because we think we're going to lie in the sun. It's going to be warm. We're going to get a massage. We're going to meet the person of our dreams. We're away from the stress for a while, eat great meals, and we're going to feel good. So literally, it's the feelings we feel as a result of looking at the picture that produces the result. And the main feeling that we want to feel is gratitude. And when you're in that state of gratitude, it's so amazing. I just sent a group, I was doing a training, David, it ended on Sunday this week, and this is Tuesday as we record this call. And what happened was I sent people on a break, and I said, on this break, it's going to be silent for the first 5 minutes of this 20-minute break. And I want you to do what we call a rampage of appreciation. I just want you to walk around, and everything you look at, appreciate it. Think about the people that were required to make that thing, to weave the carpet, to put in the pipes for the bathroom so that you could go to the bathroom there instead of in a bush, the beautiful marble floors in this hotel were in, the air conditioning system, the sound that was recorded to the music we're listening to, the furniture that was built and designed that's on the deck that we're sitting on as we go out there. Think about the clothes you're wearing, the chandelier that was made, and the trucker that brought it from the dock over to the hotel, and just really appreciate it. Well, we had 120 people in that group. And by the end of that 5 minutes, we had about 30 of them in tears. And these were guys, many of them I would not have projected that they looked like they were jock, bodybuilder, weightlifter types. And they were crying. They said, you know, I spend all my time focusing on what I don't have instead of what I do have. And the paradox of getting what you want, yes, we need to focus on what we want. We just talked about how to do that with the Dream Big Collection Vision Board. But we also want to constantly be in a state of appreciation for what we have. A few minutes a day focusing on what we want, and then we can release it. And then spend the rest of the time being in these states of vibration that we'll talk more about in a second. But gratitude being literally the main one. And, you know, we have in this Dream Big Collection the Gratitude Journal, where we just ask people every day to take 5 to 7 minutes and just write down what you're grateful for. Or you can do a rampage of appreciation like I just talked about. What if every night before you went to bed, you were to sit with your spouse or your roommate, your lover, your children, and just take a few minutes and tell them what you appreciate about them, and then they would tell you what you appreciate about you. One of the women in this training I was doing last weekend, she's been living with her husband, Bill, for about 20 years, and she said, he never tells me he loves me. I said, do you know he loves you? He says, well, yeah. Do you have a dog? Yeah. Do you know when the dog has to go to the bathroom? Yeah. Does the dog tell you? Does he speak to you? No. Well, a lot of husbands are like that. You know, they're like dogs. You know they love you. They're loyal. They're not going to say it. But you want to hear it. We all want to hear that we're loved and appreciated. A couple minutes of appreciation every day with your children, with your spouse, with your employees, it changes everything. It's a human basic need we have, and most of us don't take time to appreciate people, things, the weather, nature, the fact that the earth is spinning, that we didn't have the big 8.5 earthquake today, whatever it is, just go into that place of gratitude. And when you're in that place of gratitude, you will attract more of what you want quicker. And I'll just share one other technique that goes with gratitude that I learned recently from a group of people up at the HeartMath Institute, which we have in the Jack Canfield's Key to Living the Law of Attraction book, which is in this program as well. And that's called appreciation breathing. And this is really cool. The HeartMath Institute are a bunch of people who are psychologists, but they've been studying the heart and love, which is a very soft topic, from a scientific basis. And these are all PhDs with, you know, instrumentation and fine machines that can, you know, figure out what your brain waves are and all this kind of stuff. And most of us are out of phase. We're not in a phase of coherency where our heartbeat and our brain waves are all in a rhythmic alignment with each other. When you're in that state, it's kind of like being stoned. You're really going like, whoa, life is great, you know, and you just feel that wonderful state of alignment that you feel. And there's a very quick way. It's an amazing, miraculously quick way to get into a state of appreciation. So I'll teach it to everyone really quickly. What you do is this. You imagine that you are breathing in through your heart instead of your nose or your mouth. So you pretend in your imagination, you close your eyes and you focus on your physical heart for a moment, kind of remember where that is, right in the middle of your chest. Most people think it's further to the left of the middle than it really is. So it's right behind the breastbone, just a hair left, hair to the left side a little bit, but it's mostly in the center. And then you imagine right there that there's a hole in your chest, like a mouth or a nose, and that's what you're inhaling through. So as you're actually inhaling through your mouth, you're imagining it's coming in through your chest into your heart. And with each inhalation, you imagine the heart filling up, charging up, like a battery being charged with love and appreciation. And you just, the quality of appreciation, just filling up, filling up, filling up, filling up. So every time you exhale, it stays the same. You inhale, it gets bigger. You exhale, it stays the same. You inhale, it gets bigger. And then you start to focus on a person or a thing that you really love and appreciate. It could be your daughter. It could be your wife. It could be your mother. It could be your cat, your dog. It could be a painting you love and appreciate. It could be your car. We've seen people that appreciate and love their cars. They're out there waxing them every weekend. Doesn't matter what it is. But just fill up with appreciation. And if you do that for about 3 to 4 minutes, you will be in such an amazingly ecstatic state, it's almost hard to believe. And then if you ask yourself when you're in that state, what is the solution to a problem I'm dealing with? Like, let's say you're having trouble with a person at work, or you're not manifesting a certain goal you have. Then you can say, what is it that I need to know? How could I be more effective in handling this situation or achieving this goal? And the funny thing is, you'll get better answers from your heart than you'll get from your head. And most of us have been taught how to think logically, how to do all this. But when we're in that state of appreciation, and this is why all the teachers are teaching this these days, is that you actually access deeper wisdom. So gratitude, appreciation is so critical. And we've talked about three or four ways: keeping a journal, just doing a rampage of appreciation, appreciating specific people. You can do that, you know, at the end of the day. You can do it through email. You can do it through a phone call. Obviously, eye-to-eye, person-to-person, face-to-face is better. And also do the appreciation breathing technique. This is one of the ways to create a vibrational match for having anything you want.
Now, how does this tie in? I know one of the things you talk about is that this attractor field.
Mm-hmm.
How does this tie in, gratitude and all the things you're talking about, with this attractor field?
Well, a friend of mine named Zenda Brooke kind of came up with this term. She's been a student of the Law of Attraction for a long, long time, and she's another member of our Transformational Leadership Council, so we spend a lot of time talking together about this. And we each have a field of energy that extends out beyond our body. And there's some belief now, based on some scientific evidence that comes from NASA, with an experiment they did where they had astronauts up around the moon on the manned orbital lunar module, and people down at Duke University in the parapsychology lab. And they would have the astronauts at a random time generated by the computer open up an envelope, and it would be numbered. And the computer would tell them pick number 5 or number 3 or number 2, whatever. Then they would look at what was in the envelope. It was a shape. It could have been a square, a circle, a triangle, a pentagon, an ellipsis, whatever. Then they would think about and focus on, concentrate on that shape for about 3 or 4 minutes, and then they would record it in their log. Meanwhile, at the same time, down in the parapsychology labs at Duke University, the students would see if they could pick up what shape the astronauts were sending. They would close their eyes. They would just go into receptive mode and see if a shape formed in their head. Well, they were getting an uncannily high correlation, way beyond chance. And so we now know that your thoughts, let's call them intentions, can travel a minimum of 250,000 miles. So we know that the power of our thought is like, it's like a cell phone. You know, there are people on this call that are on a cell phone, and there are waves going through the air, no wire required, that could be going from, you know, where I am in Santa Barbara, or San Francisco, to them in a hotel, but it could be going all the way to Singapore by satellite. And so the reality is that we know that waves travel through space and can be picked up and translated by a machine, but they also can be picked up and translated by people. So the thoughts you think are critical. This is why it's so powerfully important to stay positive, to stay in a state of positive expectancy. If I come into a meeting and I'm doing a sales presentation, and I believe before I even get into that meeting that you're not going to buy what it is I'm selling, I'm already sending you an email through the internet rather than the internet, the inner planes, that you are receiving that says, don't buy. And I walk in and you've already decided not to buy. Because I preceded my walking into the room with this little email through this, the ethers, we might call it, through what my friend Rob Sheinfeld coined the internet. And so what happens is I have to start becoming responsible for everything I say. I mean, you know, when Barack Obama thought he was in a private room and he said about those people in Pennsylvania who are, you know, dependent on their guns and their prayer groups or whatever it was he said, it created a huge flap. Why? Because that message, which he thought was private, got transmitted to the people in Pennsylvania. You know, you can't say anything anymore or think anything that isn't going to reach everyone in the universe. And I don't mean just by cell phone or by people sharing it. It's going out there on a level of being picked up vibrationally. We've all had the experience of thinking about someone, and then 5 minutes later the phone rings, and it's the person we were thinking about. And it could have been our roommate from college who we haven't talked to in 22 years. And you're going, Bob, I was just thinking about you. Really? Wow, small world. Well, did we pick up Bob's intention to call us before he actually picked up the phone? Probably. Maybe we made Bob call us by thinking about him. I don't know which is true. A friend of mine wrote a book. He's a researcher at the university over in London, and he wrote a book called Dogs Who Know When Their Owners Are Coming Home. How do dogs know that their owner's coming home before they even leave from work? They know the minute that person decides I'm going home, and it's not just – they can come home in the middle of the day, a time when they don't normally come home, and yet the dog starts to wag its tail the minute that person makes a decision to leave their office and start driving home. How do they know? Well, they're picking it up through the internet. So we have to become conscious of the thoughts we think. That's why the daily disciplines of doing affirmations, doing visualizations, monitoring your self-talk, meditating, engaging in these inner disciplines are so critical. The research is now seeming to indicate, David, that 1 hour of inner work, the kind we're talking about, affirmations, belief change work, doing things like the Sedona method, Byron Katie's The Work, where you're working on letting go of limiting beliefs, visualizing what it is you want, changing your thoughts from negative thoughts to positive thoughts. All of these things, repeating affirmations, meditating on a peace or a certain quality you want to bring more fully into your life, like abundance and joy. That work, they say, 1 hour of that work equals 7 hours of outer activity in the world. Well, doesn't mean you don't have to do the outer activity. If you're a salesperson, you got to qualify leads and make sales calls. If I'm a writer, I have to sit down and write my books. But what I've noticed is that when I started doing this kind of work back in the middle 70s, instead of a book taking me a year to write, a book might take me a month to write. It was almost as if something inside was dictating the words. There was less editing needed. You know, when we came up with the idea for Chicken Soup for the Soul, Mark and I were looking for something where we could make a bigger difference in the world. We could also be known so our fees would go up, that we could reach more people so we could speak to bigger audiences. Because at that time we said we were going from local obscurity to national obscurity right before your eyes. You know, nobody knew who we were. And so we wanted to write a best-selling book. And then we said, well, what could be of the greatest service? We said, well, stories that would inspire and empower people. And that's when Chicken Soup for the Soul came through as an idea. And then we didn't have a title. And so we meditated all week long, every day for an hour. We said, we'll meditate and ask for a title. And on day three, on Wednesday, I saw a hand write on a chalkboard in my mind, Chicken Soup. And I said, what the heck does Chicken Soup have to do with my book? And it said, well, when you were sick as a child, your grandmother gave you chicken soup. That's what we do for people when they're sick. We give them chicken soup. I said, but this is not a book about sick people. And the voice said, people's spirits are sick. They're in resignation. They're in fear. This was the first Gulf War. We were in a recession then. And so it morphed into Chicken Soup for the Soul. I got goosebumps. My wife got goosebumps. Mark got goosebumps. Our agent got goosebumps. And took it to New York, and initially nobody got goosebumps. We were rejected by 144 publishers. But because we had gotten goosebumps and knew that that came from the highest aspect of our own consciousness or maybe even from God, we said, we're going to stick with this. And eventually, as you know, the book got published, and as you mentioned in the introduction, we sold 100 million copies. But it was that inner work that allowed the outer work to be almost effortless, not totally, but almost. And that's why dreaming big and the word dream means it has to have the inner aspect of it. Closing your eyes, seeing the result is such a critical part in creating that vibrational match. And then what happens, your attractor field expands. We've all walked into a room where we're attracted to somebody. And they may not even be that attractive in terms of their looks, but there's an energy about them. We just want to get next to them. And, if Robin Williams walked in, we'd all want to get over there because he's just generating so much positive energy, we'd want to be around it. And you want the same thing. I remember taking a seminar back in the 60s, and this woman that was teaching it said, if you were a plumber, you'd want to be so vibrantly alive that if you met somebody and you had a conversation with them, they'd be walking away going, there must be some plumbing I need done because I want to spend more time with that guy. And so people literally do business with people they love doing business with. And so it's important that you love what you're doing, that you spend time doing what you love, because that raises your attractor field. This is an important part of this. One of the things I teach is that you should spend a minimum of an hour a day. Hopefully, everything you do, you love to do. That's the secret of really being ultimately successful, because then life's never working because you're having too much fun like you and I do. But basically, if you're in a job that, let's say, right now you feel you need to stay there and it's not the thing that's your passion, make sure you spend at least an hour a day doing something you truly love, petting your cat, listening to your favorite music. My wife puts bunnies in trances. She can literally take a bunny out of a bunny cage, put them on her lap, and within a minute and a half they're in a trance because she's learned how to stroke their forehead a certain way. And that puts her in a trance almost doing it. You know, feeding our animals. We go down to the barn and feed our horses and our chickens and so forth. We'd love to do that. It makes us feel good. When I'm listening to certain kind of music, if I'm getting a massage, if I'm playing Scrabble, these are things I love to do. So I ask everybody, make a list of 20 things you love to do, and then make sure every day you're doing one of them for a minimum of an hour. And what happens is that creates a vibration of joy. And joy is probably the most important thing other than gratitude and appreciation that you can ever feel. And so joy is one piece of joy is it's your feedback system. It tells you if you're on course or not, because if you're not feeling joy, you're doing something that's not taking you where you want to go ultimately. It's an on-course, off-course feedback system like a sonar. But if you're trapped in your mind and you really think you have to stay there for a while, make sure you spend time doing something every day.
And I want to just jump in for a second. A lot of powerful information. You've been going for a while. I just want to give everybody a second to take in a lot of the things that you've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to kind of jump back to something that we mentioned earlier. It's coming on the hour over here. We've been talking for about 58, 59 minutes over here. And when we started out, we were talking about a couple of things. I mentioned a couple of things that you've developed really to assist people in incorporating a lot of these processes into their life. You know, we talked about achieving big goals. Early on, I mentioned the Dream Big system.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you talked a little bit about the 90-day goal challenge.
Yes.
What I'd like to do is give you a chance just to talk a little bit about it. I want to give out a website address for folks as well to take a look at what Jack's developed. It's a very powerful system. And let me give out the website address first, and then if you can take a few minutes and tell us a little bit about Dream Big and the 90-day goal.
I'd love to do that.
The website address is www.selfgrowth.com. So it's on our site, selfgrowth.com/Jack. It's /Jack, J-A-C-K. We'll make it easy for you. So it's selfgrowth.com/Jack. If you can go there now, you can do it now or just jot that down for later. And Jack, tell us about this Dream Big system, the 90-day goal, what it's about, why you developed it, and how it can help folks.
Well, literally, as we were moving into the fall, we thought, what if, here we are moving into the last quarter of the year, now it's even a little later. We said, if people were going to like really take the next 90 days and clean up all the goals they didn't get done this year and actually end up the year achieving all their goals, what would they have to do? So we created what we called the 90-day challenge. And we said, okay, look, we're going to give you the tools you need in the next 90 days. And so whenever you get this program, 90 days from there, it could be like, you know, the end of February, whatever it is. What you're going to do is use this program so that 3 months from now you can say, wow, I achieved my goals. I mean, I have one of my students who got this program, and literally her income last month equaled the entire income for the previous year. And she's a yoga instructor, and she put together some yoga videos and tapes. She got online marketing those, and she made more in the last month than she made in the previous year. And that's the kind of results we get. These are the principles that I live my life by, the principles that allowed me to sell 100 million books. And Mark and I split about $1.20 per book, so I'll let you do the math on that. We've done very well by it, and plus all the licensing that's come out of that and so on and so forth. So the key to this is to several things that we've talked about. Number one, we believe you have to have a vision board, and we talked about the vision board that we've created that is really, we call it a vision book because it opens up like a book. And every day you spend time looking at that. This kit also includes my book, Jack Canfield's Key to Living the Law of Attraction, which has 15 chapters in it that talk about what is it that makes an affirmation work. Many people use affirmations. They still don't get what they want. And the reason is the affirmations are formed incorrectly. Why don't people get what they want when they visualize? We talked about this on one of the earlier calls, but I'll mention it here. And that is this 30-day principle. The research done at NASA proves that you cannot change a belief or a habit unless you engage in that new belief or that new affirmation or visualizing the new outcome for a minimum of 30 days in a row without one day missed. So if you do it 16 days in a row and miss a day, day 18 is day one. You got to start over. It takes 30 days. I won't go into the research. It's a very complicated bit. I talked about it in the second call that we did in this series that's available to you if you sign up to get these programs. But the Dream Big Collection has the vision board. It has the Jack Canfield's Key to Living the Law of Attraction book. It has the gratitude journal. It has all of the words that you'll need, like abundance and prosperity. It has motivational quotes that are on these beautiful parchment cards that are like, you know, maybe 2-3 inches wide and an inch tall that you can put on your vision board. And so that's in the Dream Big Collection, which is about $89, I believe. The Dream Big System, which is what I recommend to people, has everything in the collection. But here's what it has also. It has a 2-hour live DVD presentation of me teaching what I just talked about, but in the whole other extra hour at a live presentation I did in Santa Barbara at the Libero Theater. And also it has a CD of that same presentation that you can play in your car, so you can play that back and forth to work because a DVD you can't use in your car. It has a bonus DVD where four teachers of the secret, John Assaraf, who wrote the book The Answer, which is a fabulous book applying law of attraction to business, Marcy Shimoff, whose recent book is called Happy for No Reason, the idea that you can be happy from the inside, you don't need an external reason, Lisa Nichols, who's the black woman in the beginning of the movie The Secret, who is an amazing teacher about how we get into the vibrational match of emotions, and Lee Brower. Lee Brower is the balding guy that talks about the gratitude rock, and Lee is a financial planner, works with families of net worths of $35 million or more. And so Lee comes from a state of really understanding abundance at a very high level. All of them talking about what they would have liked to have seen in The Secret that got edited out. So it's, well, this whole program is designed to take you and take the law of attraction and make it actually work in your life. There's also a CD series in this program that coaches you daily for 30 days. So it's me in a studio taking you through 30 days of coaching. Each day you listen to one of the lessons. And that day you focus on what it is that I've asked you to focus on, so that at the end of the 30 days you have this 30-day sequence that I talked about that NASA found was so critical. There's also a bonus if you sign up for the program at selfgrowth.com/Jack. You'll be sent a link to download instantly the CD of the presentation. So you'll get that as an MP3 download. You'll also receive it as a CD when the program is delivered to you. You can start right now to take that and build that into your life. And during this 90-day challenge, I mentioned there's two additional pieces from me. One is the first call I did, which was all about ask, much more detail than we did today, and then the second call, all about believing, which is a really exciting call because we'll talk about some of the people who've overcome what most of us would let stop us in terms of limiting beliefs, and then this third call, which you've already heard, which is the call on receiving.
Oh, and very powerful stuff. What I'd like to, let me just jump in for a second.
Sure, go
over
ahead.
Here. What I'd like to, there's a couple of other things I want to point out about the program as well. And if anybody has access to the internet right now, I'd like you to go to the site, and I just want to point out a couple of things to you. And you can go right now, if you have access to a computer, and it's www.selfgrowth.com/Jack, very simple, /Jack, and the complete system. And what amazes me, I'm looking what's included in this, a tremendous amount of material. And really, you know, one of my challenges for a lot of folks on the seeing the movie The Secret is they're not taking the next steps. And Jack's program is really designed to step you through everything that you need to do to really implement this and make it part of your lives and really achieve your goals. And the two things I want to point out, if you go on this page, you can actually see what's in the complete program. And I'm also looking at the bottom, and it looks like you're providing a 100% money back guarantee for a full 30 days on this program?
Yeah, I provide a free money back guarantee on everything we do because I don't want anyone to take and get something of mine. If it doesn't work, I don't want you paying for it. The neat thing about that is we've only had 3 products ever returned to us in 20 years. Now, that's like 1/1,000,000%. So I feel very confident in making that offer. But if you feel it's not what you thought it was and it's not going to work for you, you send it right back, no questions asked. We'll refund your money. And the other thing, David, that's in there that I forgot to mention is a coupon for a free half hour of coaching from one of our coaches, from one of our Campfield coaches. That half hour of coaching is worth more than the entire cost of the program. If you were to buy a half hour of coaching from one of our coaches, it would cost about $250. I think the whole program is less than that. So that alone is a great bargain. So if you get stuck, if there's something you want, if there's something you don't understand or you just want to get some coaching, you use that, you call up, and you get a half hour of free coaching.
Well, I just have to say, if anybody in the line, if you want to achieve some of your most important goals over the next 90 days, this is a great way to go. We're just about, I know we're going to be cut off in a couple of minutes. We've gone a little long. I want to thank you, Jack, for a tremendous amount of information today.
Oh, my pleasure.
I want to just do two quick things. I'm going to just share the website address one more time, and then I'm going to open it up and give folks a chance to say goodnight. The website address is www.selfgrowth.com/Jack. And, Jack, before I open it up, any final words of wisdom?
No, I just want to mention one other thing that's in this course. When you read the book, there's something we call the Come As You'll Be Party. And it's a party where you actually invite all your friends to come over as if it were 5 years into the future. And for the entire evening, you act as if you've achieved all of your five-year goals. And it creates the highest level of vibrational match that you'll ever experience in anything. So that's mentioned in the course and tells you how to do it. So just one more thing that's in there. And I just want everyone to realize you can achieve anything you want. And this is a money-back guarantee on this course. So there's nothing to lose and everything to gain. And when we're in a time when the economics are pressuring, is not the time to stop growing. This is the time to grow faster, to sharpen your tools, to really heighten your level of awareness so you can take advantage of all the opportunities that do occur in these moments of time and continue to create the life that you want.
Thank you for the great hour and the great message. Hold on. I just want to give folks a chance to say goodnight.
Thank you, folks. Welcome.
Have a good night, folks. Quite a few people still on the line. I wish you continued success, Jack, with what you do, and I want everybody to have continued success with achieving your goals. Have a good night, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, David. Good night.